You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Child Poverty Action Group is commending the announcement by Minister of Statistics James Shaw that New Zealand's most extensive survey of child poverty will be starting this month. The previous surveys received criticism due to their small sample sizes, particularly for Māori and Pacifica households and sole parent beneficiaries. The new survey will collect from around 20,000 households, which is nearly 17,000 more than previous. I had a chat to Child Poverty Action Group's Jenny Cartwright to find out more. Why is the Child Poverty Action Group happy to hear James Shaw's announcement regarding the survey?
Well, we actually, in our submission to the Child Poverty Reduction Bill and changes to the Vulnerable Children Act, we expressed concern that the household income survey that's reported on every year was actually using too small a sample. So it wasn't an accurate reflection of the population. So the current sample is between 3,000 and 3,500. And the last household incomes report actually had a note to say that there weren't sufficient Māori and Pacifica families and sole parent families for it to give an accurate representation of the population. So we believed, and we talked about the need for a bigger sample size and more resourcing to make sure that that report is an accurate reflection of what actually goes on in our country and how poverty affects our families. So we talked about that bigger number, and we're really pleased. We think that 20,000 is a terrific number to be working with.
You were arguing that the current household incomes report doesn't have a big enough sample size, but can you expand on exactly how the reports, how this framework limits its reliability?
Well, it limits its reliability. So essentially what happens is they survey 3,000 to 3,500 families, and it's over the course of a year. So they collect the data over the course of the year. Over the course of the following year, they dissect the data and they work out the household incomes. So they've got the information for the household incomes for all of those families. And what they do is they project, so they equivalize the income. So it's based on what they see and what the national median is based on that sample. So it's equivalized based on what the actual population is. And what we have to look at is making sure that there is an accurate representation of the country. So there's a bit of estimation involved with equivalization. So we want there to be a more accurate result. So that's why the fact that the last household incomes report noted that there was an insufficient parameter around the sole parent families, around Māori and Pacifica families, meant that we couldn't guarantee that it was an accurate reflection.
Right, and so with the new survey, we'll have larger sample sizes, but are there other things that will be included that were previously missed out?
Yeah, they will be focusing on material wellbeing and material hardship, which is really, really important, and that's something that CPAC has advocated for as well. So they will be asking families what they, you know, whether or not their children have two pairs of shoes, whether or not they have a warm raincoat, and whether or not they have some money put aside for an emergency if they need to, you know, if they need to use that, you know, if they have an unexpected bill. So there'll be other questions factored into the survey to better understand what that particular income means for those families. So when a family has a specific income level, whether it covers all of their basic necessities.
So questions like that were previously left out?
There were some. I think there are, I mean, obviously the survey itself is quite wide, so there is an element to that, but the new survey will include more. So we'll be able to get a better understanding of how income poverty affects families.
And how long can we expect until we start seeing the action based on the results of the new survey?
Well, the one thing that CPAC has been concerned about is the length of time that it takes to actually collate the data and then present the report. And so normally, with the way things go currently, the data is collected over a year, the report is put together over the following year, and then the data that's used in the survey can actually be about 2 years old by the time we see the report. So, and that can be problematic because it becomes inaccurate. We don't see what the current levels are based on this year. So anything that's reported on is up to 2 years old. Not entirely, because the data is collected over a year. So there will be some that was collected at the beginning of the year and some that's collected at the end of the year. But what we're hoping for is that there will be significant more resources put into actually collecting and collating the data, so that it doesn't become a longer job in the duration of putting it all together. So what we'd like to see is some more interim reporting too, and we think potentially there is the space to do some of that material wellbeing reporting interim. As an intermediary report, so maybe doing some of that reporting, maybe doing some of those surveys separately, so that we can see in the meantime what the results are potentially of the new changes that have come in on July the 1st, rather than waiting until 2020 to see what the report will actually state in terms of outcomes of that survey. I think what we really want to see in terms of meeting families' needs is some real action right now for the families that fall into very low income poverty levels. So CPAC has recently written a paper that talks about the total amount of money that somebody who is, say for example, a sole parent on the welfare benefit and only receiving money from their core benefit, and they've got a number of children and they have outgoings based on average rent, say for example in Auckland, and we sort of worked out where their income sits on their equivalised scale. So currently a hypothetical sole parent with three children who only has income from their core benefits and lives in Auckland, paying rent, market rent for a three-bedroom house, they may actually only have about 27% of the national equivalised median after housing costs disposable income. So that is after housing costs taken into consideration. So what we would like to see is some real policy change that will improve the situation for those families right now, rather than them having to wait.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.